we're hearing from Frank Kendall that he uses three college degrees to try to understand the defense acquisition process. That doesn't bode well for the way the structure is set up now, does it?
No, indeed it doesn't. And it has to be said that the complexity of the system is at the root of what, you know, often becomes a contentious relationship between the Pentagon and its contractors.
Frank Kendall spent some time with my colleague Jared Serbu explaining better buying power and where that program is headed. Do you see glimmers of hope in better buying power to try to get this process straightened out somewhat?
I do, and especially so following the story I think you're reading is from an announcement that Frank made yesterday about what he himself is calling better buying power 2.0.
Yeah.
I take hope from the prospect of better buying power 2.0 because I think really what's been missing from the implementation of a bunch of, you know, terrific and correct, if you will, principles that Ashton Carter laid out a couple years ago, is what I'd call a transmission belt, that takes these big ideas, and promulgates them, into this great big bureaucracy called the acquisition workforce in a way that can really be enacted faithfully rather than ham-fistedly, which I fear has been a lot of what contractors have experienced, from better buying power over the last couple of years.
Well, and Mr. Kendall alluded to that in remarks that he made at the Aerospace Industries Association event yesterday, where he said, "I've discovered the document I used to know when I first got into acquisition was 20 pages long. The current version's 200 pages long. And the fear that I hear from defense vendors is, how do we do this without coming out of this process with a document that's like 300 pages? How do we do this easier and more efficiently rather than making it more complex by changing this and layering on and so forth?"
Yeah, well, right, you put your finger on, I think, one of the big risks in cracking open a policy document like the so-called 5000 series. So, if you will, the handbook, the guidebook for how you do complex acquisition in the Pentagon. And the risk in even cracking that open with the best of intentions, of course, is almost like a piece of legislation on Capitol Hill. You run the risk that it gets populated by a bunch of stuff that wouldn't otherwise be there. So it's going to take some managerial discipline and some, frankly, managerial authority to open up the 5000 series and get out the other end of it with something that is genuinely briefer and more effectively promulgates and enacts the spirit and even letter of better buying power.
Steve Grundman is principal of Grundman Advisory, and he is here as part of our special week-long multimedia series, The Obama Impact, evaluating the last 4 years. One of the things that we looked at in that series is the relationship between industry and the agencies. And, of course, the relationship between industry and DOD is somewhat tenuous right now as we try to figure out what potentially could happen because of sequestration and so forth. And then I see this another item that I would call your attention to, which is the head of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, the person that people assume will become the head of the F-35 program, calling the relationship between the program office and Lockheed Martin the worst I have ever seen, Major General Chris Bogdan. That's, again, doesn't bode well for the future of that program and the future of that relationship, especially given all of the issues that we've covered in the past about the F-35.
I saw that article, and my reaction to it is maybe a little bit different. So it's never good, on the one hand, to hear that the government and its contractors are at odds over any program, but particularly one that's as important to national security as that one. On the other hand, some friction is a sign that the work that needs to be done is getting done, that they are grappling with the hard problems, which if they don't grapple with are going to come to bite them later on. Down the line, the program becomes unaffordable, or down the line, the airplanes come off the line and they don't work. So, I can see both sides of this. Again, it's not great to know that to hear that quote. But on the other hand, I do think that one of the reasons there's friction in that relationship is they are working the really hard problems, and they are trying to get ahead of them And, well, working them out is going to require some trade-off of time and money and the sharing of that time and money. And, look, those are tough, hard questions, but I'll bet you they're no tougher than commercial contractors and their business partners undertake every day.
It just struck me, Steve, because I thought that I rarely hear somebody, a number one or number two person in a program office, say directly with the people who they're dealing with sitting there the kinds of things that General Bogdan said, calling the relationship between Lockheed and the Pentagon on this program the biggest threat to his program today. We will not go back and ask for any more, talking about money that the Pentagon has already injected into the F-35 program. This is fundamentally a fixed-price development program. I guess you can say that the company certainly knows where the Pentagon stands on the program right now.
Yeah, look, I don't know the inside of their dialogue to know how to understand those theatrics, I will call them. They may be, not right, they may be a fairly high-handed stroke in that dialogue, certainly the way they read. I can't put any more context to that, but it is definitely it's worthy to report upon, no doubt.
What are the key things that you think will help, not specifically about this program, but that will help facilitate the overall relationship between the Defense Industrial Base and the Pentagon and the individual components of the Department of Defense over the next, say, year to 5 years as each side tries to navigate budget difficulty, sequestration, and so on?
Well, I think I'll relate my answer to the F-35 program. And I mean, you know, I think at the root of the controversy and conflict maybe between the buyer and the seller of the F-35 is the fact that the original contract, type that we started out in this program is not any longer serving the purposes particularly that the customer has. That is to say, we started out in a basically cost reimbursable type contract, and over time the customer has decided it would really like a more like fixed price contract, or would like it to operate in more of a fixed price fashion. And so, right, that's just that's a recipe for conflict. So I think the solution, the light at the end of the tunnel over the next 5 years is to get the contract type right at the beginning, and not to be a cheerleader for better buying power, but that's a big, you know, that's one of the big principles in better buying power, is let's choose the right contract the first time, the right contract type that suits the risks and costs that we all expect to bear. Let's get that right the first time so that we don't end up in these conflicts down the line.